An 8.8 Richter scale earthquake hit Russia, prompting a tsunami warning for Hawaii and parts of Alaska yesterday.
That's a huge earthquake.
Huge.
Like, you don't often get them that are there that high on the Richter scale.
If you're on the social medias, look up, there was a surgeon performing a surgery and the earthquake hit in the middle of it, and
really?
They just continue with
really?
The surgery. It's unbelievable.
Huh.
It's crazy. It was also very scary to see once the tsunami warning hit Hawaii, the gridlock that happens of people trying to escape, and there's really nowhere to go. Luckily, it was downgraded to an advisory early this morning.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, authorities.
Curtis, you were just there. I think that very beach that we're looking at right now. Is that?
There was Waikiki Beach right there a couple weeks ago when I was in Hawaii. And when we arrived in Hawaii, there was a tsunami warning in Alaska. And when we left Hawaii, there was a tsunami warning. So
really?
Crazy times, but Waikiki Beach, beautiful place. Lovely area.
Yeah, authorities continue to monitor conditions. The waves have hit Hawaii, California, and Washington, but nothing too bad. Here's Hawaii Governor Josh Green.
This is a very serious event. We have Blackhawks activated. We have high water vehicles ready to go. So we will be able to rescue people. But please do not put yourself in harm's way. Make sure you actually evacuate right now.
And now some people took that tsunami warning and turned it into a party. The governor you just heard say, you know, take things seriously.
Yeah, a tsunami party.
A tsunami party,
okay.
If you will.
Well, why not? People do that when there's a hurricane coming and there are some people who just say, you know what? Let's let it ride and let's have a good time while we're doing it.
While we
yeah.
can.
Yeah.
Reporter was live from Waikiki and was surprised to find that people on higher floors of hotels, if you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, you can see it happening, decided to throw a tsunami party. So that's how they handled it.
Okay.
I think they were just hoping that if the water were to come through, they were high enough that it would be fine. Here's mm-hmm. the audio of that going down.
It's kind of wild to see all these people here. I can tell you at the hotels, there are lots of people on their balconies checking out what is supposed to have come. But yeah, everyone just kind of anxiously awaiting to see what's going to come. And you can see, I think you can hear a lot of people yelling in the background. Lots of people, front row seats here to see, to watch, anxiously awaiting the tsunami. And yeah, that's kind of it.
Not much to report on
no.
until there's an actual tsunami.
Yeah.
Did you see that movie on the tsunami that hit Thailand and that family who was at the resort? I think it's based on a true story.
And they have all the home videos of it?
Yes.
That, yes. Terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's crazy. They're on the beach and all of a sudden mm-hmm. the water just starts going out.
Yeah.
It's,
like, and you can't, I mean, you're not miles away. You're still not safe.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. So
very
I'm glad
scary.
It hasn't happened.
Do you remember
yeah.
in Hawaii when they inadvertently sent the ballistic missile
yes.
warning?
Yes. Yes.
And how crazy it was. It was one person who hit the wrong button. That was our failsafe from
yeah.
everybody thinking there was a nuke incoming.
Yeah. It was actually Jackson. okay.
A vigil was held yesterday for the four people who died in the shooting in Midtown on Monday in New York City. Yesterday, some of what the shooter left in his note that he left behind after he killed himself suggested that he was targeting the NFL offices and that he believes he was suffering from CTE from playing football in high school.
Yeah.
And he wanted his brain studied. Seemed as though he may have gotten on the wrong elevator when he entered this building and was meaning to go to the NFL offices, but
yeah, terrible.
Did not. Yeah.
Terrible.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
I killed
the
police officer, you know, who
a
was
security
just trying
guard.
To do his job. And yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. But then you look, I mean, the police officer, a dad with a child on the way, security
yeah.
officer who had worked there forever, a mom of like two,
yeah.
and then a young, young, young girl who just had her 5-year Cornell University reunion.
Mm.
And they're all just at their place of work.
Yeah.
And for somebody to walk in and to be walking around New York City
right.
with an assault rifle like that. When I first saw the photo,
yeah.
the surveillance photo, I thought he was holding a skateboard.
No,
that thing is
yeah.
huge. And to be walking around in daylight,
yeah.
6 p.m., but it was light out.
Psycho.
It was terrible.
Yeah, and the New York, they nominated a guy that wants to defund the police.
yeah.
That'll work out well.
Yeah. A woman walking in Marshfield says a man tried to grab her and force her into a truck where another man was driving. So a white pickup truck pulled up with no license plate yesterday, allegedly started talking to her, saying, "You should come with me," and quote, "You're a scary little girl." That man then grabbed her wrist, trying to force her into the truck.
Jeez.
She was able to fight back. She knocked the suspect to the ground and ran away. But we can hear from Officer Camden Bruno on BZ.
Of course, concerning. I mean, anybody should be able to walk to the store and back home without being approached and certainly assaulted. So naturally, when these things take place, we take them very seriously. It isn't something we like to hear about. It's not common, and we want to put a stop to it.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy. We just did the story the other day of the woman walking her dog, and a guy tried to grab her.
Be careful out there. Get you some mace. Get you a taser if you can, and you go... You learn how to get your concealed weapons permit, you know, especially women, you know, women in all, you know, all fields. If you're going to be out there running early in the morning, and I know this is the world we live in now where it's like, you know, just be careful of your surroundings.
Yeah. Always go for the eyes. Poke them in the eyes. Yeah. That's what they always tell you. A pastor and his wife in Denver were arrested for running a crypto scam. Prosecutors say the Regalados solicited $3.4 million from investors looking to buy their cryptocurrency. It was called Index Coin, but they only took a small amount of the proceeds to go into this business venture. Uh-huh. They say God told them to do it.
Yeah. Oh, God told them to do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
They used most of that $3.4 million, almost all of it.
God told them to buy the dip. Yes, 100%.
Exactly. Yeah. They use that money for home renovations and vacations. So the
God always says get on a good vacation and make sure you fix up your home.
Good point. The cryptocurrency, of course, has zero value, and all of the investors lost all the money that they tried to invest in this. The duo were indicted on 40 counts of theft, securities fraud, and racketeering. Here's Pastor Eli Regalado talking about what he did with the money.
The charges are that Caitlin and I pocketed $1.3 million, and I just want to come out and say that those charges are true. Out of that $1.3, $500,000 went to the IRS, and a few hundred thousand dollars went to a home remodel that the Lord told us to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see.
When the Lord speaks.
So the Lord told them that you got to redo the bathroom.
You know,
the Lord moves in mysterious ways,
knows.
Greg.
Yes, I mean, don't they talk about the, you know, your home in the Bible, like, you know, some way, so... Yeah.
The Lord is like, you got to get new tile in that bathroom, honestly. All right.
We have another episode of Wiggy Eat It.
Oh.
Would you eat it?
They look like little dumplings.
Yes, they are.
Chicken palm all day long, baby.
Would you eat it?
I love boneless spare ribs. Corn tortilla.
Would you eat it?
I think 6-inch wieners are the best.
With Wiggy.
This is actually a good one. I think Wiggy would definitely eat it. Kraft has launched a limited edition pizza flavored mac and cheese.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, very good. All over that.
Yep. Wow. So the nudes are sprinkled in garlic and other Italian spices that apparently make it taste like marinara sauce mixed with the cheese.
It's the flavor of marinara.
Yes.
As it is the flavor of mac and cheese.
Right. Yes. Yeah. They say it even smells like it when you take it out.
Ongoing argument between me and Linz.
Mm-hmm.
She believes that Kraft mac and cheese is better than homemade mac and cheese.
Kraft mac and cheese is very good. And maybe I just don't have a good homemade recipe.
Man.
That could be the issue.
Have you ever had Mrs. Wiggins?
No, I've
black
asked
mac?
Every Thanksgiving.
Have you ever gone to Lincoln and Southie and have Chef Lambeau's mac and cheese?
At Lincoln?
Hunters. I'm sorry.
I have. That is very good mac and cheese.
Although Winky knows the guy's name, he just doesn't know what restaurant he works at.
All right. Hunters, have you ever had their mac and
cheese? I have. Very good.
If you utter the words that Kraft boxed mac and cheese
is better than homemade,
you
take it up with Linz.
She should never be able to speak about any food topic again.
Oh. But Greg, you
that's
need
like
to just,
saying, that is literally... like saying
Prego's better than Mama Bula.
No, I'm trying to find
my mashed potatoes are better than a restaurant mashed potatoes.
What's the worst movie you ever seen that's out and about?
Happy Gilmore 2.
Happy Gilmore 2. That's like saying Happy Gilmore 2 is better than, I don't know,
Happy Gilmore,
Goodfellas, Training Day.
Yeah, okay,
you know,
took a while, but you got there.
I was looking for the perfect analogy.
Hey, Greg,
I don't think we got there.
We didn't really. Greg, quick note on Happy Gilmore 2.
Yeah.
The people that like it are actually insulting Adam Sandler. The people that don't like it are actually giving him credit.
Right.
Because the people that like it are like, what'd you expect? All his movies suck.
Yeah.
It's such an odd way to defend it.
Everybody's like, oh, we knew it was going to be this bad. What? Like,
I don't think it was bad, though. I'm just saying I knew it wasn't going to be as good as the original.
Right, you're insulting
him. Okay, then why make it?
Because it's a victory lap.
I mean, we had this argument yesterday. I don't want to go back.
They make money, Greg. Of course they're going to make it.
He doesn't have to make money. He has a ton of money. Make something
new. He has a contract with Netflix. He has to make movies.
He doesn't have to make Happy Gilmore 2 and have it suck.
It didn't suck. It did not suck.
It did.
I enjoyed myself watching it.
Yeah, people are never going to be able to, because the original is so good. It's like Coming to America 2. It's the Ice Cube is in the process of making Last Friday. So it's very difficult.
They're redoing Naked Gun.
Yes,
that
comes
out. That comes out this week.
Which is going to be so stupid because the original.
Why?
They're filming right now a sequel to my favorite movie of all time, Devil Wears Prada, which I am very much looking forward to. I want to see what happens to people. You want to see how the story ends.
Okay,
like
that's different, though.
Maybe with a drama film like that one. This is a comedy, like about happy.
Greg, you brought up the Naked Gun, and it's
you're talking about a movie. Excuse me, if you're talking about a movie, and the highlight for you is the cameos that somebody's making, it's not a great movie.
I'm kind of surprised Courtney wants a sequel so bad. She can just go back and watch the original since she clearly doesn't pay attention the first time anyway.
I did watch it yesterday, actually. Once I saw my friend saw them filming in their building.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Nice building.
Okay. So they're going to hit this Kraft pizza is going to hit the shelves in supermarkets in September. But for a limited time right now, GoPuff is offering a dollar slice style delivery experience. You get a Pizza Mac delivered in a custom pizza box. Mm. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
And a teacher in Tennessee has gone viral on the TikTok for calling out parents who don't want to pay for their kids' school supplies. I would love to hear Julia Hill's take on this. She's a great teacher.
Uh-huh.
Here is the TikTok rant from middle school teacher at Randy Pandy.
Just so we're clear, I'm expected to take a bullet for little Johnny and his classmates. But little Johnny's mother does not see it fit to provide for the community with some Clorox wipes, some tissues, maybe an extra pack of pencils. Like that's what we're going with right now. I have to make the ultimate sacrifice for the community, the school. But little Johnny's mother does not think that she has to make any sacrifices for the community. I just want to make sure I'm clear on this.
Mm.
Well, the parents have a gripe, obviously, with the community that she's talking about because they're not funding the schools. I think we've talked a lot about this. Curtis talked about it with Jess, and I talked about it with Julia. Didn't we? I think I shared Julia's school supply fund thing last year because they have to come up. Teachers should not have to come up with money to buy things for kids in school. Like, it should be a priority for the town or the city.
Yeah. But can I say this, though? I am on the side of the teacher. These videos don't help. Like, to call your kid, like, you're supposed to take a bullet for little Johnny. Let's not get out of our mind here. But it is obscene, especially in these towns that are very well-to-do, that the teachers have to pay for their own materials for the class.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Well, who else is going to pay for the metal rat trash cans? Oh. We got to get those first.
And the bike wash stations.
Yeah, it should always be about the city, the town.
Can we send Jackson through the bike wash station? I want to see how that thing works.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I saw you send that, Greg. I think it was when I was off. Yeah. That story, I had to Google it myself. I'm like, did Greg get coffee stored like I did?
Yeah,
and that's real.
Yeah.
How can we, think of how absurd that is to put city funding. I don't care if it's a dollar. A bike wash station? It's called a hose.
It's
crazy.
Like, it's called Don't Wash It. But then you get some mud on it. Like, who cares?
Yeah. Just wait for the rain.
Yeah, leave it on the rain.
Never has a society been governed by such a few amount of hardos like the bike people have a hold of the city of Boston.
But that's why, hey, go vote for Josh Kraft. I mean, don't vote for Michelle Wu again because guess what? You're going to get more bike cleaning stations and trash cans.
I mean, look at that thing. It's beautiful.
It's huge.
It costs 50 grand or whatever, 75 grand, whatever it was.
We don't have parking spots to begin with. This would take up two.
We have people that are hungry in Boston and we're building $50,000 Taj Mahal bike cleaners.
Right. And where is it, too? It's like in the middle of nowhere. Does anybody even know where
that
is?
Install a hose.
Are they free when you pull up?
I believe so. Yeah.
I'm sure it's free. Yeah, they don't make the bike people pay for anything. They don't have to pay
for it. Yeah, it says free service on the sign.
Right.
You know, it's like tucked away next to a garage.
Free service.
That was stupid. If you're gonna have a bike wash thing, have it right out in the middle of the open where we know where to get to it.
Yeah.
We're the cleanest bike city in the world.
Right.
Our bikes are cleaner than any other city.
Right. No
courtesy
needles
of Michelle Wu. Yes.
Well, I was thinking about doing an affiliate news story of the day.
Oh.
For our affiliate stations that we go travel to. Well,
so we could go Rhode Island.
Yep.
We could go Cape Cod.
Yep.
We could go... What are you...
I would like to go to Maine today if we
could. To Maine. Okay.
Yes.
All right. We need a sounder for this affiliate news. But go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. PETA has filed a lawsuit against the Maine Lobster Festival.
That goes on. I think it starts... It's about to start, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So PETA is stating that boiling lobsters is unlawful and cruel.
Unlawful?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's against the law, they believe, to boil a lobster.
Yeah, a specific law. So they're asking the courts to declare the festival as a public nuisance. In a statement on Instagram, PETA said, steaming sentient beings alive isn't a celebration. It's illegal torture.
Oh.
Maine law clearly prohibits the non-instantaneous killing and torment of animals.
Ah.
Yet at Maine Lobster Fest, a public event steams 16,000 lobsters alive each year, causing them to suffer for several minutes before death. We are not letting this slide.
Oh. All right. So how would PETA like us to kill the lobsters?
Right, like just a knife right into the brain or
whatever. Or you can crush it with a hammer, crush the head, but then you're messing with the meat?
Right.
Yeah, that's why you got, really I think
eat,
it's...
You don't eat the head meat.
Oh, you don't eat the head meat? Okay, right. So then there you go. Crush it with the hammer. Then they'll complain about that.
Yeah, but then water gets inside the shell.
But let me ask this. I don't eat lobster. You guys eat lobster.
It's the best.
Why do you have to put it in the water alive?
Oh, well, I mean, that's the way it's traditionally been done.
It's
fresh.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
No, but I mean, you couldn't, like, kill it first.
Some people, I think...
How do you kill them? Like only way I remember my parents bringing lobsters home, we'd have them race across the kitchen, and then you put them in the water.
Oh, you're not really supposed to have them race. They,
why?
I don't know if they like that.
If the lobsters like it, we're eating them.
So it's like
your dad had a lobster racing ring.
You were basically toying with them.
Yeah. It's like a Running Man death game show.
No, it was just like I was a kid, and it was like, oh, the lobsters are here, and they'd race across the kitchen.
It's like did you let the winner live, or did you eat the winner also?
No, we ate both of them.
Yeah. Man,
isn't there a way to like put them to sleep, and then you can like stand them on their head too?
Yeah. Well, you can rub them, like if you rub them in a certain spot, then they are lulled into a peaceful tranquility.
Right.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Kind of like Bill Clinton. but I don't. I mean, what? So what do they want? They want them to cancel the whole lobster
cancel
festival.
Cancel it. Yeah, end it.
Sorry, that's not appropriate.
No,
I mean, I the entire state of Maine would be in deep trouble if lobster is their number one. Like they have fishermen, and they like it's the number one food of Maine.
If people you want to giggle today, go to PETA's Instagram account and read the comments on this because people are like, "Thank you for standing up."
Thank you.
Yeah.
So the PETA people don't eat lobster then.
Some people think they hear the lobster cry in the water.
Is that what they do?
Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
No.
It's the same noise people make during Jackson's lead.
Hey, listen.
Just to bring this full circle, Greg, is lobster mac and cheese the best variant of mac and cheese?
No,
it's not
I don't really. I mean, probably a surprising take. I don't really like a lot of things in my mac and cheese of other kind. I just like mac and lots of cheese.
I do like a good buffalo chicken mac and cheese.
Buffalo chicken mac and
nice
cheese.
Nice short rib mac
good.
And cheese is
no,
delightful.
I've never tried that.
Not really. So no, I don't like all that stuff in there. Just
I like a good old natural.
Lived.
Yeah. All right, is that it, Courtney?
That's it for the news.
All right, thank you so much. Here is Courtney now with what is trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Excuse me one moment. Rich in Saugus has a quick life jack for your parents, apparently. Rich, what's up?
I can't do the Jackson voice as well as Jackson guy.
Yes.
But quick life jack, lobster races and the Winnie the Pooh do not go well in the kitchen together.
Yeah, no,
that is Jackson here with another life jack.
Yeah, that could be an issue, certainly.
The Sox take one in Minnesota after jumping out to an early lead. 8-5 was the final on the road. Trevor Story had his first homer, a two-run shot since July 8th, while Jarren Duran also had himself a home run, a 446-footer. Lucas Giolito went six innings, giving up a run on five hits while striking out five. Alex Cora talked about what he's seeing from Duran that's allowing him to drive the ball from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
I think he's not just swinging out there. His swing rate has to be down, lower. His chase rate has to be lower. So when you do that, you start hunting pitches in certain zones and you start doing damage.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. Last one in Minnesota today, 1-10 first pitch with Brian Baio getting the start. Mike Monaco joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Joe Weil at 12-10 for the MassMutual pregame show. It was day six of Patriots training camp, day two with pads, and it came and went without Christian Gonzalez. NFL insider Jordan Schultz reported that Gonzalez suffered a hamstring injury that will, quote, sideline him for a bit, but he is expected to be ready for week one. Drake May completed less than half of his passes in 11-on-11 and 7-on-7 drills, but some good news. Folks in attendance said Will Campbell looked better, sturdier during 1-on-1 drills. Another one for the Pats today, Mike Vrabel will speak with media at 10, while practice is set for 10:15. And introducing the new Awaken 180 Golden Program. Awaken 180's medication-free, fast weight loss solution for those over 60. Awaken180weightloss.com.
7 days into Patriots training camp, and up next, the Curtis Camp Query of the Day. Still plenty of time to leave a Hill Note on any topic, whether it is something that we have discussed or something that we have not. And you can do that on the Odyssey app. You will see the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and leave a voice note, and we'll play the best ones back coming up next hour at about 9:20. We should open up the window world of Boston WEEI weather window on what I guess is the final day of this little mini heat wave we've had here. Curtis, if you could poke your head outside and give us the forecast.
All right. It already feels like 86 in Boston. It is a hot one out there. It's going to be up to 92, real feel in the mid-90s. But tomorrow it is going to cool off significantly, going to be cloudy skies with highs of 78 in the city of Boston. Friday morning at the Tipsy Seagull in Fall River, could be dodging some raindrops and highs are in temperature in the upper 60s on Friday morning.
Yeah, we're doing a Flex Friday show back at the Tipsy Seagull, which is a great place on the water in Fall River. Cannot wait to see all of you. Place was jammed last year when we did it, so I'm hoping that you're all coming out on Friday morning, hang out with us. And then Saturday they do a really incredible annual charity event, and they all get in their really fast boats and do a poker run all around that area and over in Newport and Jamestown. And that event this year benefits the Greg Hill Foundation. And so thanks to those guys down there for that. And can't wait for that on Saturday as well. Although I will not be going in the boat on Saturday. Tried that last year. Terrified me. So I will be watching from the shore, waving hello. Hello, sailor.
That's smart.
We all got our fix of that, and yeah. I think we're good.
Oh, Wiggy will never, I don't think, ever go on a boat like that.
No. Hell no.
You guys did. How fast did you go on that thing?
Like 130?
Yeah. 130 miles per hour.
Honestly,
nautical miles per hour, whatever it is. Knots.
Doing that was faster, but not as scary as the boat we took after to Newport. I was more scared because that was more open. Like we were sitting and ours was kind of covered on the top.
Oh, it Mike's boat when we went to lunch
was
that was the day before, right?
That was on Friday. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And that scared me.
I am boating today. I'm a passenger. I like the party boats. What do they call those things? The
tiki boats, if you will, on the lake.
The pontoon, as Chris said. That's more my
The speed. Ones at Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yeah, yep. I like those.
Nice and slow.
I don't need to be going, 130 miles.
Anchor
an
me right around the sandbar.
Yeah.
And we ain't even got to go nowhere.
Anchor the boat or anchor you?
The boat and me. Anchor me right there. We ain't got to go anywhere. We can enjoy it right there.
I mean, you really become a lake guy. All it took was one trip to Winnipesaukee, and you're a lake guy.
Well, because the sandbar thing is so cool. Like, and you can't do that in the ocean. People say you can, but I've never seen it. Where?
You can. There are sandbars in the ocean. There,
where?
Miami.
Nantucket.
Yeah. Miami.
Miami has a great sandbar.
That you can pack a bunch of boats around it.
Oh, well, not boats, but you can go swim at. Like, you can go stand out there, float out there.
No, I'm talking about...
But you weren't even on a boat. You were just on the sandbar. You were enjoying
your
time.
Right, but there was, like, you could have, like, you know, 40, 50 boats around this sandbar, chilling, going from different boats. Like,
I believe Greg's friends used to do a big 4th of July party down the Cape with at a sandbar, right?
Yeah,
with
all their boats. Like an island.
Yeah.
That's more of an island.
That's
than
an island, though. It's not a sandbar.
Well, right, because there's tides in the ocean. The sandbar goes away and comes back.
Yeah, yeah. See, so you can, like, literally just... All day long, just be out there chilling and having a great
time. Some could say an island is just a massive sandbar.
I don't know if anybody would say that or not. Yeah.
Some could.
Not quite.
Shime had that as a lead last week, I think.
I did, thanks,
All right, let's get to the Curtis Camp query of the day. Curtis?
All right, so offense is on my mind. I am very interested to see what Josh McDaniels does. Quick statistical breakdown of the Patriots since the GOAT left. The only offensive season that was halfway decent was 2021. They averaged 27.2 points per game. Last year, they averaged 17. In 2023, they averaged less than 14. If the Patriots are successful on offense this year, why will it be? And if they fail, who will you blame? Two-sided. Do you believe the Patriots can get back to the Mac Jones season? Just answering the question first before everybody. I believe if they are not better than 27 points a game, the 2021 Patriots season, it is a failure. And if they do not, I will not blame Josh McDaniels. I will blame Drake May.
I think that I would blame... I'd be more likely to put the blame on Drake May than I would on Josh McDaniels. Although I would ask Wiggy this.
Mm-hmm.
How similar do you think this offense will be to that, you know, Josh
Mac
McDaniels,
Jones?
Like that offense that is his offense with Mac Jones?
I think it'll be very similar with the nuances or the kind of like add-ons will be the ability that Drake May has to run the football.
Right.
So you'll add in the RPOs. You didn't really do that with Mac Jones. You'll have the ability for Drake May some designed run plays. You put him maybe more on the move because of his athletic ability. So I think it's still going to be the same offense, you know, the same offensive foundation that I was in, that Brady was in, that Mac Jones was in, just with a little bit different of a sprinkle because
you're
of
not some,
Drake
you're not
May.
One who goes into a complete panic if they're actually designing runs for their quarterback.
No.
Like, God forbid you do that.
Utilize that.
Yeah, but Drake has said he doesn't want to rush as much as he did last year.
And I would say, listen, we're not going to rush you a ton, but we're going to utilize your skill set.
I will also say, Curtis, I think a step towards a successful season next year, you have to have a receiver that has over 1,000 yards. The last receiver that we had that recorded 1,000 yard was Julian Edelman, 2019. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a drought that's insane. If you look at the last 6 years and you don't have a single receiver on the Patriots that has reached that, that's the first step.
So
you would say maybe Steph Diggs would be the reason they're successful this year, if he could do that.
Correct. Yeah.
If they're successful this year, it's because of Drake May offensively. And if they're not, it's going to be because of Drake May. Right? When you look
Shine might blame the offensive line. He might put it on Moses.
Well, I think Shine would lean more towards it being Josh McDaniels' fault if they're not successful.
Well, I think it has to. It depends how it looks, Greg. Like, you can't just. It's hard to prognosticate exactly how the offensive season is going to go, because I think asking for 27 points a game means you're asking for them to be a top 10 offense in football, which I think is a very big ask. Like, I would like to be inside of the top half. So you have to be 15th or better in terms of total offense. Like, that to me is a successful offensive season. If you're not, then yeah, there's a lot of questions about Drake May. I don't disagree with that.
I mean, look at 2021 in this season. At every position outside of right tackle, center, and guard, they're better. They're as good or better at tight end. They're as good or better at running back. They're much better at receiver. And they, according to Scheim, should be exponentially better at the most important position, quarterback.
Yeah, but you also have to look back at that 21 team and remember that they had a top, like, three defense in all of football, Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right, they, so a those lot of the, will be mitigated.
A lot of that points number was inflated because they had, what, two 50-point games against dog water teams?
Right. The most important position was occupied by someone you believe to be a moron.
Correct. And he sucked, and he proved that.
Well, okay, so if you can do that, maybe the defense doesn't have to be top three. Maybe the defense can just be top 10, and you have a quarterback that's actually good that can balance that out and get you back to 27.
Yeah, I mean, statistically, Scheim's talking about the defense being responsible for a lot of those points in Mac Jones' season.
Yeah, the defense helped a ton.
That's what you're arguing.
I think they were number two in the league in turnovers that year. Like, that defense was insanely talented.
Right.
Insanely
and
good.
It put you in positions to score points really fast and really easily. I could see the points theory, right? I could see what Scheim's saying based on points. Are you getting short fields? Are some of those points coming off of pick sixes or those type of things? I could see what Scheim's saying.
But look at all the money they invested in their defense this offseason. The defense should be a top 10 defense.
Yeah, the defense should be good. Your offense should look like the thing about the offense in 2021. And, you know, and whether you were a Mac Jones fan or you weren't, I wasn't a Mac Jones fan. The offense, for the most part, looked capable. It looked like a real offense. It wasn't this high-flying offense that scored a ton of points where you're like, okay, this is why they score points because Mac is throwing the ball all over the field. He did a good job. He was a guy that, you know, made the right decisions. They ran the ball well. And so when you look at this year's team, I think they're going to put more on Drake May's plate. And they're going to, so when the success is going to come offensively for what Drake May is able to do or not do. And if he's not able to go out there and elevate, make plays, then we're going to put it on Drake May. If he's able to go out there and make plays, then we're obviously going to give him the credit. So I think it squarely falls on the shoulders of Drake May when it comes to the success of this team offensively.
I just am curious about the Pats fan and their patience with McDaniels and allowing this offense to develop with Drake May this year, because I believe them to be a playoff team. The Dolphins just lost one of their corners in an already sort of a weak position point. They just got a guy out for the season, according to Rap Sheet this morning.
Kohu.
The division is ripe for the taking. And I think the Patriots are more talented than the Dolphins and more talented than the Jets. I don't think they're more talented than the Bills.
Right.
But I do love the fact that you have Steph Diggs going up against his old team twice. He seems like a guy that rises to those occasions. The excuses should not be there. The defense should be much better. And it has Vrabel and all the guys they brought in. And the offense should have a second-year jump from Drake May with McDaniels and Steph Diggs, not to mention one of the guys, whether it's Pop Douglas or the shoeless guy, who knows. You have Hunter Henry back at tight end. Like, they should be good.
Also, you'll find out if the philosophy, and it must have been Elliott Wolf's or Robert Kraft's, because it wasn't Gerard Mayo's, but the philosophy of letting Drake May sit for a good part of that season, that should pay off this year if that was the right way to do it, correct?
Yeah, I'm always under the impression the more real snaps you get.
No, I understand that. But that's what Gerard Mayo wanted, clearly, because
right.
He said it on this show. But they, you know, whoever was driving that internally, that if they are correct, then that should work in Drake May's favor.
Yeah, if they believe in the theory that they're pushing, where it's like, oh, we're not going to rush this guy in.
Yeah.
But I'm not one that believes in that theory. I'm one that believes in, I want to see my guy go out there and either he can sink or he can swim. And if it looks like he can swim, then we can build off of that, right? Then we get a good offensive coordinator in here like Josh McDaniels. This team, when you look at this Patriots football team this year, I still think Buffalo is the leader in the division. Obviously, because of Josh Allen. They don't have that legit number one, but Josh Allen has enough talent to elevate everybody and get guys involved in that passing game. If you're not successful then Drake May hasn't been able to make that jump and turn the corner. We're going to be questioning him. And then we're going to be questioning Mike Vrabel and his coaching approach. Because if you're losing games, well, what's going on defensively? On paper, you should be good. But if defensively you're not doing, Mike, what's going on with the defense here you're coaching? Do we got to change the coordinator? Is it the game plan? What's going on?
So in that order, you're going to question Drake May first, yep. And then you're going to question Mike Vrabel. Josh McDaniels is really third,
yes.
To answer Curtis's question.
Yeah.
This is Robbie in the car. Robbie, what's up?
Hey, guys. First time, long time.
Thank you.
I'm just curious, like, if Curtis thinks that even if the Pats have, like, 22 points per game average, but have 11 wins because we control the ball and have a really good defense, would you still blame people in that? And then I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you win 11 games, I don't think there'll be a lot of negativity going around. There's obviously, that means that Drake May wasn't losing you games. He wasn't throwing back-breaking picks or doing dumb things with the football.
Which is probably the most important thing, right?
Like, of course.
At the end of the day, it comes down, to be honest, the best stat for Drake May this season is going to be touchdowns to interceptions. Because if he throws 20 touchdowns but only throws 7 picks and you win 10 or 11 mm-hmm. games, everybody's going to be fine. But to the opposite side, like if he throws 40 touchdowns and 12 picks, but you only won 7 games, people are still going to be unhappy because you didn't win more games.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big stat for anybody is wins, and he won one game last year. So if he wins 11 this year, I don't care if they do it running the ball every play.
They're not going to win 11 games this year.
It's more likely they win 11 than Shime saying less than 6.
But I see, Shime.
I never said less than 6. Man, we keep going lower and lower, guys.
I think nine is a very fair number.
Yeah, 9 is only
to expect. Yeah. I think it's fair to expect 9.
You have settled in on Greg's fence very well. I mean, Ordway's fence. Yeah.
If they do what you said, Chime, and you said Drake May's thrown, what, 40 touchdowns and, what, 11 interceptions, 12 interceptions? Is that what you said?
Yeah, and they're like a below 500 team.
And then I think he's looked more like Justin Herbert, where it's not Drake May, it could be the coach.
Well, yeah, so Wiggy, I think your analysis of the process, like the people you're going to look at first, mm-hmm. is correct. Like, it's going to go Drake May, Mike Vrabel, then Josh McDaniels, because if May is playing really good, but they're still losing games, clearly the defense is bad. Like, if you go out and you lose 30-27 to the Raiders in week one, that's probably not because, if you score 27 points, it's not because Drake May is playing poorly, it's because the defense is bad.
He becomes Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
With the Chargers, puts up the good numbers, and you're like, what's going on? And then you're like, well, he doesn't have the right coach. Then he gets the coach and Jim Harbaugh. And look how it changes.
But minus Steph Diggs, does Drake May have the right weapons to be able to do that? I mean, depending on who ends up being in that wide receiver room.
To me, it's more the offensive line than it is like the weapons. Like, it's just, if they give him 5 seconds, then yeah, he should be able to complete passes to Pop Douglas, Kyle Williams, Stephon Diggs, Hunter Henry, you name, or run himself. Like, but if he's getting, you know, bull rushed by Max Crosby on every single play in week one, there's only so much you could do.
Because you think about Justin Herbert, when he's had some of those pretty decent seasons.
What if they signed the tickler, put him on the offensive line to scare defenders?
Yeah, they could do that. He didn't have, like his weapons were good, but they weren't, like, elite. He had Keenan Allen, who was a little bit older, Mike Williams, who was up and down. Who else did the Chargers have? They
have Quentin Johnston, who can't catch a football.
Right. So Justin Herbert, when you look at his numbers, he never had like that legit guy. So I think Drake May can kind of be in that type of statistical world, and the team not do well, where you go, oh, we have the quarterback, but what's the other pieces?
Curtis, good one today.
Thank you.
Curtis, camp query of the day. And coming up, Hill Notes at 9:20. Leave one now. We'll be right back. Curtis's camp query of the day reminded me about a question I had when I was driving in this morning. Do you believe that Gerard Mayo is still pissed?
Yeah.
You think so?
100%. He'll be pissed till the day he dies.
Yeah.
I would be.
Absolutely. I
mean, they ruined his reputation.
He's got a check coming in. And
yeah, but they...
They embarrassed him. And in the way in which some players, not all, speak about the difference from last season to this season, like, it's a hit after hit for him.
But that's what it was. I mean, that's what they're not making that up to make him look bad. That's their experience.
Yeah, right. Ready to burn some cash.
If they had invested money in the way they did this year, last year, don't you think that there's a chance Jerod Mayo is still employed as the
young Thundercat?
Yeah. They ruined his reputation more than anything. Because
they ruined it, or he ruined it?
No, they ruined it. Because think about this. Prior to him, and, you know, Curtis and I were going back and forth about it, and Curtis was right, is prior to him becoming the head coach of the Patriots, like, he was the hottest thing out there.
Yeah.
He was...
He was always mentioned every time there was an opening, head coaching wise, and
he was interviewing in Carolina. It was like, "Oh, Mayo's the guy." People were like, "Oh, Mayo's the guy. You can't let him go nowhere. Yeah. Do whatever you got to do." Like, he was the hottest thing out there, and they ruined his reputation in the sense of not only, did he struggle as a coach? Yeah, he had some issues, you know,
as any first year head coach probably would
have. Self-inflicted. Yes.
Ah, neutralized. Bam.
But. Like, he don't even coach no more.
So as an organization, we're still 100% behind Jacoby.
What do you think he's doing? Just kind of hanging out? And
I bet no one will hire him.
Spending the money, like lounging in the pool?
Yeah, I bet
he's on Cameo.
I bet because of the way
Young Thundercat
it ended here, I bet no one would hire him.
Which is terrible. And it's also, I mean, doesn't a bit of it fall on Kraft, though? If you hear those players talk about the difference between last year and this year, how long did Kraft say he knew that Jerod Mayo was going to be the guy? 5 years.
Thunder.
So if you knew he was going to be the guy for 5 years and he wasn't ready for that role, that really falls on your owner.
Well,
and don't you guys think, like, there is the Harbaughs, if you want to say that, you want to say Tomlin, Andy Reid, there's a handful of coaches that are big parts of the reason why their teams win. But, like, the coach of the Bengals, what's his name?
Zach Taylor.
Like, he has Joe Burrow when he got to a Super Bowl. Like, overwhelming majority of successful teams are brought there because the front office did their job, invested, and they have really good players. And then there are some coaches that are so bad they cause you to lose. But the vast majority of the coaches in the NFL are in that middle area where if the owner invests and they have the right quarterback, they'll win.
But even with the coaches, you have to give your head coach, even if your team struggles the first year, you got to give him a little bit of an opportunity, a little bit of a runway, and then you got to give, like Curtis is right, some pieces. They gave Mayo no pieces and zero runway.
Well, they're not qualified to do what Mayo is doing.
978 text says, if I were Mayo, I would have quit right after I came on this show and said we're going to burn some cash, and then they made me walk it back.
And cash. Yeah. Ready to burn some cash.
Yeah. They kind of did him dirty on that one.
Yeah, they handcuffed him at every turn. And so, and now
he couldn't start the quarterback he wanted.
So if you're
like, how do you not blame Kraft for that?
If you're another team and you're like, all right, should we hire Mayo? They're probably looking at it and going, you see how it ended in New England? Stay away from that
but
guy.
But wouldn't you think people would pick up the phone and call Kraft? I would hope that Kraft would give him
a good
review, like something. Yeah.
Well, he didn't give a good review to Belichick. I don't think he'll give a good one to Mayo.
But what do you think? He asked them to write him a recommendation letter when they fired him as soon as the game ended?
Young Thundercat.
The hardest part is, where else is he going to get a recommendation letter?
Well, he can't get one from Bill either.
Right.
Call Jelani Tavai. He'll give him a pretty good one.
Yes, he will.
And if Will Campbell sucks, that final game against the Bills will go down in infamy.
It looks
even
so
worse.
Bad.
You had the first pick of the draft, and all of a sudden Joe Milton turns into Troy Aikman.
Here is Derek, the Steelers fan. Hey, Derek.
The one thing Kraft has never been shy about spending. He doesn't care how much it costs.
No, well, I don't know. We haven't seen. I mean, he paid him out on his salary. I don't call that.
All coaches get
Kraft
that, though.
Don't mind making things go away with a little bit of cash. Sign a player, not so much. So I just got to ask, and now Curtis, I hope this doesn't divulge into, like, you know, Roethlisberger in 19, whatever.
No, we're all good. Like, what's on your mind, Derek?
Okay. So Andy Hart on your station 2 days ago telling everyone that he thinks maybe the offensive line could be worse. So I love this time of year. It's a great time of year. Everyone's optimistic. But you're blowing through 9 stop signs to get to the fact that they're going to win 10 games. You don't really know if this kid May is it or not. He had some abysmal turnovers. And if, to be honest, you bring up Mayo. If I'm Mayo, I'm saying this kid cost me my job. We had 3 games we could have won. This kid gave them away with abysmal interceptions. So you've already anointed him, clearly, because you got them at 10 wins. You've already said that the offensive line is definitely going to be better than last year. I told you already a week ago, I don't think so.
You can't,
this kid Moses.
You can't figure anything. At the training camp, you can't figure out whether the line is going to be good or the line stinks. Like, it drives me nuts.
You'll know next week. Next week when you go and you're up against Washington, you'll have a good idea of what's what.
But it's
if Cole Strange can actually play football.
Oh, I don't think
not.
He's going to start, Derek. That's the funny part.
I mean, let's go over the 10-win teams.
So then how is the line?
Let's go over the 10-win teams last year in the AFC. The Broncos and Bo Nix went 10-7.
That team was good.
The Chargers won 11 games.
That team is good.
The Steelers won 10 games.
Not so good.
The Patriots are as talented or more talented than those teams. I don't think that's
a
crazy statement.
Curtis,
they're not more talented than the Chargers and Broncos.
They're not.
If the Patriots hosted the Broncos in week 1, what's the line?
Broncos by 4.5, probably.
In Foxborough?
Yes.
What?
Yes. The Broncos might have the best defense in football.
Yeah, I would agree the Broncos would be the favorite.
And Bo Nix threw 29
Curtis,
touchdown passes last
year. They don't have talent, buddy.
But listen, Derek, it's simple. The great thing about the world we live in, and our boy LB told us it, is the Google machine. It is simple. So I'll ask the question to the room. You just tell me which one you think is better.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Michael Owenu or Will Campbell?
I am hoping that Will Campbell is.
Okay. Michael Owenu, Will Campbell. Is there anybody else?
At left tackle?
At tackle.
Tackle, I would put Campbell at tackle over Owenu.
Okay. So Okafor or Moses?
Moses. He parted the Red Sea.
I don't know. He might leave the team too. I don't know.
And Okafor left the team after week 1, right?
I always side with the olds.
All right, so you would say Moses, right?
Yes.
Zolak or Sosi?
Not the Michael Jordan NBA, not Michael B. Jordan that we love from Sinners and Black Panther.
Well, Greg hated
Sinners stunk.
Michael Jordan, just guy, left guard, or Cole Strange / Wilson. Who would you?
Jared Wilson.
Okay. Landon Roberts or Michael Owenu at guard?
Wait, who? Who is that? Who is that?
Landon, is it Roberts?
That was the former linebacker of the Patriots.
Robinson.
Layden Robinson,
excuse me. Layden Robinson. Sorry about that.
On Owenu, I would go there.
Owenu. And then Andrews Bradbury.
Okay.
Because that is your offensive line from week 1 of last year versus your potential offensive line for week 1 or this year.
I think it's better.
Exactly. When you look at it on paper and you go over the names.
And you use the Google machine.
And you use the Google machine. Yeah. That was the starting offensive line against the Cincinnati Bengals last year.
Yeah.
So
Wiggy, I agree. It should be better. But again, there's a lot of question marks.
No, but
the Patriots win total in Vegas is 8.5. The Broncos and Chargers is 9.5. You guys are talking to me like one's the 72 Dolphins.
Because they play in the same division, Curtis. Like that's why.
Okay.
So that means they play the Chiefs and each other 4 times.
Right. And the Raiders who stink.
Raiders.
We gotta take a quick break. We'll be right back.